Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
The analytics of Jaylen Brown is not good. I'm more of an eye test guy. There are some people out there that look at that a little bit more deeper than what the eye test says. I had one, not an executive, but an analytics guy saying, well, yeah, we view him as like the seventh best player on a team. I was like, holy crap. So I was like, wait a minute, that's a little bit of a stretch there.
It is 93.7 WEEI, Rich Certainly, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. And you can give us a call at 617-779-7937. And that right there is the voice of somebody who made our own Jaylen Brown go on a Twitter rant this weekend. And I got to be honest, Jaylen, I think that one comment there was worth four tweets from Jaylen Brown.
I know.
The first one was, analytics nowadays used to discredit and control narratives. Roll the ball out. None of these guys better than me on both ends. Who does he work for? And then he writes, very cocky here, he goes, nobody has won more combined regular season and playoff games since I entered the league 10 years ago. Then he wrote, analytics have and are ruining the game we are playing. And then he retweeted one more time our next guest and put, state your source. Well, the gentleman who said that, we are very happy to have him on. Bobby Marks is the NBA front office insider for ESPN. So, Bobby, did you know when you said that, that you would be on the other end of the wrath of one Jaylen Brown?
I didn't. And I said, like, we live in this day and age of 19-second clips. I was like, what happened to the other 4 minutes when I was praising him and I defending him and doing all that and everything that came with it? No, I did not think, I did not have that on my bingo card on Saturday afternoon that Jaylen Brown would be awfully upset with something I said. And to the point where my 20-year-old had, I'm out in LA for free agency. My 20-year-old called me and said, Dad, you just need to go out for a walk. Leave in the hotel room and just go. And I said, like, listen, I said it on TV on, Friday, and we did a segment today on TV. Like, I am a huge Jaylen Brown fan. Like, listen, if I was in the front office, I'd be looking to trade for him. But there is, I'm telling you, it's a crazy process where there's like a faction of people, and I don't know why, that are, built into the analytics and the on-court numbers. And we put up a graphic today and showed that I guess he had the seventh best net rating on the roster. So, like, I mean, listen, I grew up in the 90s getting into this league, and as I said, I am more of an eye test. I do think there's a role for analytics and stats and everything that comes with it and stuff like that. But I do think there are some teams out there that have probably taken this a little bit too far. And I think if you talk to 20 front offices, they'll probably give you 20 different opinions on a guy who finished sixth in the NBA in MVP voting, is an NBA champ, and has the most, I think he's got the most wins, I don't even know, last five or six, or since he's gotten into the NBA. So, yeah, I think we've calmed down that argument for a little bit. That certainly picked up a lot on Saturday.
Yeah, it was kind of funny because people got mad at you when it
I
wasn't
know.
Even what you said. It was you reporting
state your source.
Heard. Yeah, right. But the one thing, I mean, you briefly mentioned it, but because the one thing that is interesting is when you talk to this, these people who are big on analytics,
numbers,
and
they call
numbers.
You know what's funny, I said it, I joked this, and now we call it strategy. Like we call it, like we've gotten away from the analytics, and now we've given it a fancy name and everything. It's called strategy. Now.
Ah, yes. Whatever you call it, it's still confusing to me. So, people who are smarter with that stuff, I trust their word on this. But I would like to know, like when these people you spoke with said that he would be the seventh best player on the team, was it what was the you mentioned net rating? Was there anything else that they used to justify that comment?
Yeah,
stat?
Sure. I mean, I think net rating came in play is plus minus is, certainly I think he was a minus 10 plus minus when on the court and a minus six when he was off. He's the last 4 years. He's got a negative net rating in the last 4 years, and certainly that probably includes them winning a championship. And I said, like, the pushback on me is that what it doesn't tell you is sometimes who he's on the court with, right? Who else is out there? Is it garbage time down the stretch and everything like that? So I think you have to be awfully, awfully careful as far as when you're evaluating players and using that as kind of a crutch. And listen, he makes, as you guys know, he has, you know, 3 years, $183 million on this. It's a big number, but it's a big number for a guy that, you know, as I said, is a top 10 player.
How many GMs in the league, Bobby, do you think are heavy strategy guys, heavy analytics guys? They would use that stuff to decide what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a little bit of a different, you know, I grew up with the old school, you know, the former players. You know, I grew up, Will Shrewd was my mentor when I got into the league and stuff like that. And he, you know, certainly grew up in a different era. But I do think we're in a new wave of, you know, of younger executives. I think the analytics, the strategy departments have grown significantly, where some teams are going 5-6 deep, maybe even more. So it's almost like a little bit of a baseball approach, where we went money ball for a long time. And I think that's kind of crept into the NBA and everything like that. So I think there's split. I don't know what the number would be and everything like that, but there are a fair amount of people who look at kind of that compared to what the guy actually has done on the court.
So would you be open, Bobby, to saying who did say that about Jalen?
No, I can't. I can't. It's like me, like, we, you know, we sources, I'm like doing that. I don't want the delve of, and listen, and it wasn't, I'll tell you, it wasn't, you know, that was the one comment to that, but I've talked to team executives over the weekend. Like, they're, I'm telling you, and I don't agree with it. There is some mixed opinions as far as what, how teams view Jalen. And I'm for the record, I am not in that group there.
And now, Bobby, when these people you spoke with, was it just because of the analytics, or was there something also about some of the off court things? Because we've talked a lot about that.
Yeah, I don't. No, that wasn't brought up. That wasn't brought up, and everything like that. I I had Billy King as my boss when I was in Brooklyn for, I guess, 3 or 4 years. Billy was there, and he had Allen Iverson. And I'm not saying Jalen Brown is in the conversation as Allen Iverson. All right, I'm not saying that. But I would say, like, the pushback on what, you know, whether it be streaming or some of the comments would be like, listen, if a guy is an MVP candidate, you deal with some of the other things that maybe come along with it and stuff like that. You know, if he was a, you know, end of the bench, you know, 14th, 15th man, maybe you look at it a little bit differently here. But no, I didn't get pushback as far as, you know, some of the things out there. You know, we know Jalen Brown. You guys have covered him for, you know, listen, he's outspoken, and he's, mm-hmm. he'll say what's on his mind, and sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's you'd probably ask him not to and everything. I saw his dad went after Perk over the weekend too. Yeah. So I'm glad I wasn't the only one who.
We got a lot of action these days around here.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, I would hope not because I've never seen his name in legal stuff or anything like that. I mean, like, there's, you know, so from that, I don't think so.
Bobby, so we just had the news break that Ja Morant is going to go to Portland, which is one of those potential landing spots we've heard about for Jalen. How do you see that as a fit for a Brown trade?
It's interesting. Like I always say, there's always a part like 2, 3, and 4 to deals. You know, there's the initial trade. They got a lot of guards there, guys. You know, you look at their roster. I mean, you've got Ja, you've got Drew Holiday, you've got Dame coming back, and you've got Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe. So, like, you're not going to be able to fit all that.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
There was no picks involved and everything like that. So I would think, new ownership is always a wild card just because of what they're trying to do and everything. So they've got the draft assets if they want to do something. I think the interesting thing is, like, you know, Boston doesn't have to trade him. You know, I think if they feel like the relationship is, you know, is they can, you know, salvageable. I don't know if it's gotten to that point. Don't do something that where you're getting, you know, 50 cents on the dollar. You know, you could always take your take your cards off the table and walk away and figure out maybe just you do something maybe if it's next year or not. Because, you know, if it's draft picks or players and stuff like that, you're not going to get what you would have been able to get in the honest deal. Like that's not coming your way. So I do think it will be interesting how this develops over the next couple of days if nothing materializes and you just basically kind of, you know, punt towards next year.
Well, Bobby, from the executives that you've spoken with, how aggressive are the Celtics right now in trying to trade Jaylen Brown?
Aggressive. Listen, they're not just taking calls. They're putting calls out there and everything. So, yeah, I would say aggressive and really just looking like, hey, make an offer. You know, put something on the board. Let's make something that makes sense and everything. And if it makes sense for us, we'll go down that road. And they haven't gone down that road as of right now.
If you had to, just from a feel that you have, if you had to put a percentage on how confident you are that Jaylen Brown is going to be traded, what would that percentage be?
If you had asked me Friday, I would have said I thought there was probably an 85% chance that he would. If you ask me on Monday, it's Monday, right? Monday,
yes.
evening, I would say I would probably flip that and probably say there would be more of an 85% chance that he won't.
Wow. Is it because they're not getting what they're asking for, the Celtics?
I just think there's nothing out there that and that could change a lot. It really could. I just think there's nothing out there that makes, to my knowledge, and I've talked with Sean's and Brian, and certainly everybody who's in tune with everything. And there's just nothing there of that would be worthy of trading a top 10 player in the NBA.
Did the Celtics incorrectly judge the market for Jaylen Brown?
I think no. Listen, Brad and Mike and that group and Joe, they're smart. They knew once they engaged with Milwaukee regarding Giannis, they knew that there was going to have to be a fallout as far as with Jaylen's name being out there and everything like that. So, I mean, anytime you can go out and trade for Giannis, you do it, and it would have to have cost Jaylen and everything like that. So I don't think they've misjudged the market and everything like that. I just think the market has been pretty cool.
Wow. Well, Bobby Marks, great stuff. And, yeah, just take a weekend off of social, or a couple more days off social media. You know, it'll all blow over.
There's always one summer where I piss off somebody, whether it be an owner or a player. This summer was the player, I guess.
Better Jaylen than his dad, from where I'm sitting.
Oh yeah, I know.
I'm glad I heard the dad interview and stuff. I'm glad I did not. My two colleagues Stephen A. and Perk were caught in the crossfires there, so I'm glad I was not in that. And part of that group.
Oh, well, Stephen A's loving it. I mean, anytime you get like an athlete to just validate what you're saying,
he did defend him on Saturday afternoon when all that came out and stuff like that. So he did say some positive things about him.
Oh, good. Well, good. I love how whenever Jaylen Brown says anything about Stephen A, you're going to hear Stephen A do 20 minutes on one podcast, 10 minutes on First Take, 30 minutes on the other podcast, like out of his 14 podcasts. And it's just, you know that he loves it, which I would too if I was him. I was like, hell yeah, I'm being validated. This is great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Bobby, great stuff. And thanks
appreciate
for coming on with us. We'll have you on
thanks,
again
Bobby.
Soon. Thanks.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thanks.
Right.
I think my big takeaway on that is that he said on Friday, he thought 85% chance that Jaylen was going to get traded. But after this disastrous weekend, he thinks it's an 85% chance that he's not going to get traded.
That's huge. And apparently Shams just said the Trailblazers are not actively pursuing Jaylen Brown and view Ja Morant as their big move. So
I'm sorry. I disagree with him. I think the Celtics completely misjudged the market on this.
You're right.
And no one's taken. No one's taking on Jaylen Brown right now.
You are right.
Wow. Which is a good thing. I want to keep Jaylen Brown around. I don't want to get pieces and parts. Giannis was a different story. Giannis is a star player. I'm glad this is kind of – so thank you, Jaylen. If you had anything to do with it by running your mouth and saying this is your favorite season without Jason Tatum, then I was a big smooch is coming your way. Thank you so much.
A lot of Twitch streams in our future. Here we go.
Here they go. 617-779-7937. We'll be right back.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.